I'd like to keep reading Colossians this afternoon. I have a privilege that preach once a month on this pulpit. This year, I share the message from the epistles, the letters of the letter of Colossians. Today, I'd like to share the message from chapter 1, verse 24, to the end of the first chapter, which is verse 29. Please open your Bible. I think you have the same Bible I have. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerful works in me. Amen. In this text, we want to examine three different aspects of our ministry. Three different aspects, points of our ministry. The first one is the attitude of our ministry. The attitude of our ministry. Of course, as I mentioned, there are some ministers or missionaries in here. The others are just Christians or non-Christians. But I just ignore who you are. But I want you to think about, you have you have kind of order from God, and you have to fulfill, you have to accomplish the order from God. If you have some order, which means you are ambassador or a minister. So in this text, Paul shows the attitude of our ministry and the author of our ministry and the activity of our ministry. And then number one, the attitude of our ministry is disclosed in verse 24. It's pretty simple. The first sentence of verse 24, Paul said, "Now I rejoice." Now I rejoice. That is his attitude. He said in the letters of Thessalonians, rejoice 24 hours. Rejoice always. He always orders us or encourages, rejoice. As you know, the word rejoice means not be happy or just be fun or being like a happy man. But Paul said in this verse, now I rejoice. In Greek, this word is very strong. Paul says, yes, I am do rejoicing, kind of thing. You know, he does not say just, oh, I'm happy today, or I'm feeling good. No. He said, I do rejoice. And I think the word of rejoice Paul uses in his text is not, which means the word rejoice means like the content or the or like satisfied. You know, it's like a feeling, but it's more deep, kind of maybe spiritual or joyful or spiritual happiness kind of thing. The Paul said, I rejoice. Why? He has something good? Because he's doing, his job is doing all right? Because he got good salary, because he have some good things, his baseball team won, or what he said. Now I rejoice in what was suffered. I rejoice in what was suffered for you. I rejoice because I'm suffering. That's what he said. Does it make sense? Are you happy because you suffer? That's kind of ridiculous, you know. Oh, I rejoice because I'm suffer for you. Please suffer me, you know. Well, yeah, come on. I need more suffering from you. Then I can rejoice. This kind of weird man. Maybe the weirdest man in the world. Right? But what he said in this text, and this is his attitude in his ministry. I rejoice because I'm suffering. But why he can rejoice in what he was suffered? Because I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is church. The reason why I could rejoice is for my suffering. With my suffer in flesh, I could fill the lack of Christ's affliction. Of course, Christ died on the cross. In terms of his salvation, his affliction, his suffer was perfect. But Jesus still have the suffering upon his body, church. So, as the minister of Jesus' church, Paul feels rejoice with the suffering from the church. Because when he experiences, when he feels suffer, he feels something, the uniteness with the head of the church, Jesus Christ. When he feels suffer, he feels the same feeling as his boss feels. Jesus, he died on the cross, and he threw out the whole entire being to atone, to buy us from the evil, and build the church. But he still suffered. So as the part of Jesus' church, as the part of his body, and also the servant of the church and the minister of the church, when Paul feels suffer, he feels content. He can rejoice. He can have joy. This is his point of view, his idea. So the people who belong to the church, if you feel something, especially as missionaries and ministers and pastors, guys, if you feel suffer, or if you have some problems on your ministry or in your field, rejoice! Amen! Because you're the part of God, the Jesus Christ. Because you are the minister of the church. That's why you are suffered. Amen? Your amens are so small, man. Amen. Yeah. Suffering is the sign of your ministry. It's a sign of you are the part of Jesus Christ. Your boss, Jesus, suffered on the cross, and still he is in suffer. He's not like easy in heaven, the right seat of Father. Oh, Father, I'm done my job on the earth. Well, I need some rest. I want ease. No. Jesus Christ is still praying 24 hours with tears for every single person on this world. He's suffering every single day. So if you feel suffer for the church, for the neighbors, for the people do not have heard the gospel, if you feel sorry, if you feel afflictions, you can rejoice. That is the attitude of our ministry. Verse 25, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. Last time I preached on this pulpit, I kind of mentioned a little bit. Paul introduced himself with pride. I'm the servant of the church. I'm the servant of Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus called him friend. But Paul said, I'm the servant. I'm so proud to be the servant. I could serve the church, serve the body of Jesus Christ. Of course, he is the leader of the church and he's the apostle of the church, but he wants to be the servant. That is the lowest place. So that means he wants to do anything he wants. He can do, you know, anything. Actually, anything. From the preaching or teaching or leading, but he can clean the church, or he can fix the church, or, you know, anything. That his idea. Yes, Lord, I want to do anything. That's why he said, I am the servant. That is his attitude. Do not hesitate. Do not hate anything. Do not dislike anything. If you can do single small job for the church, that is the opportunity. You know, that is our rapture thing. You know, this is what we could be proud of. Of course, you can do anything for the society. You could be the president or teacher or president of the big companies or the professors. That is good. Yes. Do what you want. Yeah. That's not related to the kingdom of God. God will reward you when you're going back to heaven what you have done for the church. You know that. In the book of God, He does not record what we have done for the society or for the country or for the universe. God records that what we do for the church, for God, for what we are created. Amen? Are you created for this country? For your company? For your school? No. We are created to serve His body. What? Remember what Paul said? I can throw out anything. For me, what was worthy, used to be worthy, was nothing after I met Jesus Christ. For him, everything was no meaning if that's not related to Jesus Christ. That's what's Paul's confession. So he said, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. In its fullness. I should go on because my time is limited. Verse 26, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations. The gospel, the commission God gave me to present to you, the commission God gave to Paul and then gives to the others, which was kept hidden for ages and generations. Paul was the Jews, so he was a member of the nation God chose. They had Old Testament. Yeah, it looks like they have everything, you know. They knew the mystery of God. But until Jesus Christ was born and died and resurrected, the mystery was hidden. But now the mystery was disclosed, but it's now disclosed to the saints. It's now disclosed. The mystery, everyone in the Old Testament, they want to know. Isaiah, David, Moses, Jeremiah, Hosea, every single person in the Old Testament want to know the mystery. They can smell a little bit. They can feel a little bit, right? So they prophesy the Messiah. Or they show the types of redemption through the law, but they did not touch, they did not know the mystery. Like if you watch the series of TV show, sometimes very good story just stop, and then next week, you know, yeah, it happens. Yeah, that's a trick. Yeah. Oh well, we cannot wait until next week. You know, that happens all the people in the Old Testament. You know, they hear a little, you know, they experience the histories. You know, they experience the Yahweh. They experience the many events, and they heard the prophecies, and but they did not see the mystery. They did not see the Jesus Christ. They did not see. But when Jesus Christ became human beings, everything was disclosed. This is God. This is God's love. This is what God wants to do. Jesus Christ disclosed everything. That's why Paul is kind of exaggerate, like the mystery has been kept hidden for ages and generations. This is a feeling of Jews, you know. Yes, we wanted to know, but God does not disclose, does not open the treasure of the box. Just keep the box, and we can see what's in there. What's the mystery? What's the gospel? But finally, we got the gospel. Verse 27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles. Among the Gentiles, the glorious riches of this mystery. From the Jews' point of view, you know, this is like a, of course, this is disappointment, you know, disencouragement. God finally opened his box. He disclosed the mystery. But this mystery did not go to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. They kept the mystery, the box of mystery, for ages and ages and generations, and then opened. The Jesus Christ, the Son of God, appeared, showed the love of God, and died on the cross and resurrected. This mystery goes to the Gentiles. Yes, it happened. Paul, sorry. I'm very sorry for Paul. Sorry for the Jews. Yeah. Of course, if you read the 2 Corinthians or other letters of Paul's, he had a, you know, struggling in his heart. Why the Jews did not catch this mystery, this gospel? Why they just gave to the Gentiles? But this is the plan of God. God finally opened the box and disclosed the mystery and gave to the Gentiles. Because the author of our ministry is God. We do not know the scenario. We do not know the whole plan. God has the plan. God has timeline. God knows everything. We do not know. We just do the part of His plan a little bit. Of course, we want to know. Lord, I want to know everything, every plan. Why you send us here? What do you want? What are you going to do this in this field? What would happen to the people in this country? Lord, I'd like to know. Then I will do my best. This is what we think, right? This is what I think. Lord, if you show your plan, I do. Right? I want to know as detail, you know, in details. We need manual. Lord, give me the schedule of revival in Japan. Yeah. And what should I do today? What is the part of your plan, Lord? Then I will do my best. Right? If you know me, if you if I know the whole plan, I'll do. But the author of a ministry, the boss of our ministry is God. And God knows everything. God has whole plan. And God said to us, what? Do your best. Do your best. Do what you can do today. Follow me. What Jesus said. Deny yourself and put your cross on your shoulder and follow me. Deny yourself. What deny yourself means? Do not put yourself on the author of the plan. Jesus, He's the author. He's the head of church. We are the part of His church. God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you feel something as the Jews, like I do not know the correct word of English, or irritation or something, you know. God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. The glorious of this mystery is given to the Gentiles, not the Jews. But of course, this is The gospel is the glorious riches, you know, has the riches. This is the most expensive treasure. The gospel is the most expensive treasure. Nothing other. What is Christ in you? The hope of glory. There is no hope except Jesus. There is no hope except Jesus. He's the only hope for you, for your country, for the whole universe. He is the richest glory. We proclaim Him. That's why we proclaim Him, because He's the hope. He's the glory. He's the only way we can go to heaven. That's why we proclaim Him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. It's not easy way. You know, this is not easy to proclaim gospel. What Paul said, proclaim Him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. He put His all wisdom, His all experience, what He have, everything. Then He proclaiming and teaching. To the end, I labor, struggling with all His energy, which so powerfully works in me. I labor, struggling. Yes, as a minister. He's proclaiming, admonishing, and teaching, but it's not easy. I labor, struggling, but with all His energy, which so powerfully works in me. He is struggling with the power of Jesus Christ. The more He struggles, the more power from Jesus Christ was pouring in His spirit. That's what He felt. That's why He can rejoice in struggling. When He have suffered, He struggled, He feels the power of Jesus Christ. He feels the Spirit of Jesus Christ right working in His spirit. That's why He could rejoice. That's why He could be the minister. That's why He could be the part of the church. The activity, our ministry, is struggle with all His energy. If you do not struggle, you don't feel the energy of Jesus Christ. That's why our ministry is not easy. Which so powerfully works in me. Powerfully works in me. Of course, He put His all energy, His wisdom, His endurance, His patience. He put everything He has, but still He needs more power. It's from Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, you feel the same way. If you can fulfill your mission with your wisdom, with your power, with patience, that is not the ministry. After all, overall, put everything you have, but still you need something. Then we pray. Then we ask Jesus. Then we need. Then we feel the energy will come into your spirit and works powerfully. Do you rejoice? Do you rejoice in struggling? Do you think so? Maybe yes, maybe not. But thank you, Lord. God put His treasure in our hands and send us to the people who needs this treasure, the gospel. Of course, you feel struggling, you suffer, but rejoice. Rejoice, because when you struggle, Jesus will work powerfully in your life, in yourself. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the scripture we read. Thank you so much. Now you disclose the mystery and you show yourself through your Son Jesus Christ and through His death and resurrection. Thank you so much that we are elected, we are sent to spread this gospel, spread this treasure with glory. Lord, but we will suffer, Lord. It's not an easy job. But Lord, when we suffer, we can feel the suffer of Jesus Christ. When we suffer, that we can feel we are the part of Jesus' body. And also when we suffer, we feel the power from Jesus Christ. Lord, encourage the people through the word of you and through the Holy Spirit, Lord. Especially the ministers and missionaries, wherever they go, whatever they do, Lord, bless them, encourage them, and then your name will be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.